So 2 years ago, exactly, my colleague Martin presented here about domain. And if I now look at what I've in the slides, then it's like, wow, is that only 2 years ago? So it was a very nice introduction of the how domain came to be. So if you didn't see it, then here's the link to that session. Very short summary. He started domain as a side project to experiment with Rust, to experiment with DNS. And basically 2 years ago, there was a basic messaging, DNS messages, and all kinds of types was all available in domain crate. And a bit before that time, internally we said, well, what if we do a new DNS application, we're doing it in Rust? What would it need? We keep NSD, we're not going to rewrite that, keep unbound, or not going to rewrite that, but maybe we will have new applications do that in Rust. So we made some plan, and it was like, well, we need to do that next to our existing work, so that was more like a five-year plan, like, what is the stuff that we would like to have to start writing applications? We didn't have a clear idea of what, so we just make a generic list of this, which you probably need. And so this is just my personal opinion what domain should be. I mean, I don't think we ever set an official vision for domain, but to put some dot on the horizon, just say that it needs to be the most complete DNS library, so whatever there is in DNS, eventually it should be available in domain. We want to have high performance, we want to be able to build high performance applications, so we want to have a low level primitives that really allow us to optimize for performance. But at the same time, if you want to quickly write an application that needs some DNS, then you shouldn't be sort of bogged down by all kinds of details. There should be nice high level primitives. So it's a bit of a tension, like how do you maintain that in a single library? And a third one is it should be the foundation for our Rust-based DNS applications, because in C we have the curious situation that we have a C library for DNS called LDNS, and then we have NSD and Unbound, and they both don't use that library. So Unbound has sort of its own copy of the library, but a completely different API. So we don't want that for Rust. So then, what happened was that STF grants became available, and we said, well, let's take all of this five-year work and submit a proposal for a lot of money for 1 year and then see what happens. And then we got accepted. So now suddenly we had to do a lot of work in 1 year, and that was 2024. And then it turned out in 2025 that what we really need to have is a new DNS signer to replace OpenDNSX, so we started working on Cascade. And that is good because Cascade is then a real-world application that forces domain to work, because if it doesn't work, you don't have a signer. Maybe this is easier. This is just schematic, all of the sort of work that we envisioned. It's like, okay, you need to be able to send requests, so you have client transport, you need to be able to receive requests and handle them, so server transport, we need to do something with DNSSEC. We wanted to have a sort of a DNS query application that we call DNSI. We had big vision for that. We also want to get rid of LDNS. I get later in what sense. And so we said, well, we need to have DNST. So we put that all in the grant proposal. And then for a client transport, it's like, oh, well, you send a UDP packet and you get a reply. I mean, well, what do you expect? And it turns out it's surprisingly rich. So the first datagram is indeed doing UDP, but it's like maybe you don't always want UDP. We have a testing framework called Stelline, and that just short circuits it. But it hooks into the all of the DNS stuff you have for Datagram. But you can also say that maybe I want to have a specific UDP thing, like maybe I want a wrapper that collects statistics, or I want to bind to a specific interface. So you can define your own object that does UDP, and then you hook it in, and then it works. Then we do the same thing for stream, because from a DNS point of view, TCP and TLS basically look the same, so you can be generic over that, and it also does AXFR and IXFR over that. And then when you have such a TCP connection, then it is annoying, because if the TCP connection is open for a while and idle, then the client is supposed to close it, but the server may also close it. You don't want to bother an application with that. So we have a multi-stream that basically says, well, virtually just have a single TCP connection, but under the hood, you will get a new one when you need it. And if you then combine the multi-stream with the Datagram one, then you get what we traditionally think as DNS over port 53, because you send a request over UDP, then you may get a truncated bit set, and then you have to continue over TCP. Then it is nice to have something like a cache, and it is nice if the cache looks like a transport, because then you can just have your existing code that generates requests and looks at replies, but there's just a cache in the middle in case you send similar queries more often. Then you find that a resolver may have an IPv4 and IPv6 address, or you may have multiple resolvers, you want to talk to that. So redundant basically says, well, you've got a bunch of addresses. It keeps statistics and it tries to talk to the fastest one. But you could also go the other way around to say, well, I have a bunch of things that all do exactly the same thing, and I want to make sure that the load gets sort of evenly distributed over everything that works. Then you have the load balancer. And finally, we have TSIG, because, well, if you want to do a zone transfer or an update or notifies, people like to have this stuff signed. So a nice collection of client transports for all of the DNS queries. Then you get sort of the opposite for servers, with a bit of a different structure. You get UDP, TCP, and TLS transports that are all sort of a bit simpler than the client part. But you want to have some generic code that handles cookies. We have some notify middleware thing that can talk to a zone maintainer and then tell the zone maintainer, oh, you've got to notify. Maybe you want to refresh this zone. Of course, you want TSIG again, and you also need to do special things with AXFR and IXFR. And then sort of as a part of where we would like to go, but we have no real idea yet, is that if you get a request, then maybe some things are local zones, some things should go do this upstream or that upstream. So we have a simple query router just based on QNAME, but in the real world, people route queries on lots of other stuff, and we have to figure out how to really make that available to applications. Then DNSSEC. A DNSSEC validator for messages, and basically you give it a reply and it says, well, this reply was secure, insecure, indeterminate, or bogus. And then you can do this validator also again as a client transport, where it turns bogus into surfail unless the CD is set, and it sets AD when it's secure. And then you just connect this validator into whatever other client transport configuration you already had, and suddenly all your replies are DNSSEC validated. So there's validation, then signing. You need to build NSEC, NSEC 3 chains, and you need to sign a zone. Then we figure out that if you want to do some signing, you need to have some sort of key management, and we wanted to move part of the key management, especially the key roles, into the library, while at the same time not locking us into what say whether a DNS assigning key is stored on disk or in a HSM or something like that. So it's a pretty generic thing that doesn't that only has sort of a concept of keys and then tells the application, like, now you need to construct a DNS key RR set with the following keys, or you need to assign something with those keys or generate a DS record, and then the library should figure out how to actually do that with the right bits. And we have two crypto backends at the moment. There is a Rust thing called Ring that can do a lot of stuff. And the nice thing is it's written in Rust, but it's not complete. And then we have OpenSSL, which is also complete, but on some platforms it's a pain to build. And you also get problems that the Rust OpenSSL bindings bind to basically everything. So when you compile the application, you end up, for example, on OpenBSD, that our code doesn't work because we assume that OpenSSL has ED 448, I think it is, and then Libre SSL doesn't have that, and people complain and stuff like that. In any case, and then there's an upcoming Rust thing called Graviola, that when that's ready, then we should probably add that as a backend, but we could add other backends as well. So DNSi, we had a big vision for that, and that is we want to have a command-line tool that can really tell you about DNS stuff from your command line and sort of be smart about it. And then we shouldn't didn't have the time, so we started doing a dig-like thing, and now it's still a dig-like thing. We tried to make the output more user-friendly, so maybe that helps, but still a vision for the future is we want to do smarter things, like, I don't know, maybe it can tell you why your DNSSEC is broken or something like that. So for LDNS, it's a library. And we want to get rid of that library because it doesn't have a particularly nice API. If you use it from C, it's very easy to make all kinds of annoying mistakes and stuff like that. And it's not there's not that much use of it. There's some use, but it's not like the whole world is running on LDNS. There's one problem is that LDNS, the library, comes with example programs. And people misunderstood example programs and they use them in production. And I'm also guilty of that. I mean, at home, I'm running a homegrown DNSSEC signer that is written around LDNS sign zone. So we realized that if we don't want to make a lot of people very miserable, then if we say LDNS is going away, then we need to have replacements for the LDNS utilities. So that is basically what DNST started out. It has some of them, and we plan to do more of them, and then when you call them with the LDNS name, then they have the same options, and we try to make it as compatible as possible. It's not 100% the same, but roughly it's the same. And then if you call it with the DNST name, then you get the same sort of utility, but you get modern command line flags and other cleanup and other options and stuff like that. And now we added one new utility to that DNST thing that is not in LDNS, and that is a DNSSEC key manager. And that is basically taking this code in domain for key management and then makes it into a concrete application that can do key roles and all that kind of stuff. So that if you build a DNSSEC signer, then the key manager is already taken care of. Okay, so that was 2024. 2025, started working on Cascade, the signer. A bump in the wire signer, so it means it receives a zone file, either as a file or XFR, IXFR, signs it, makes it available as XFR. We explicitly put in review hooks for the signed and unsigned zone. So a new unsigned zone, version of the unsigned zone comes in, review hook gets called, the user can check, like, do I have a sensible set of data? Maybe it's a tiny zone now and something went wrong. I don't want to sign it. You could put in some special records, check whether they are there. For signed, you can check whether the signed zone matches the unsigned zone, whether it has a valid NSEC chain, all kinds of stuff. And only when those review hooks return true, then you say, okay, you can serve that. Well, it uses the external key manager that I just described, and though we may also at some point integrate one as well. And we also find out as part of sort of real world annoyances that people like to spend a lot of money on a box, and that box can do signing, and it signs slower than if you just do it in the application, and it costs a lot of money, and people want to use that. And that is still fine. And now this expensive box comes with a binary blob, and then you're supposed to load this binary blob in your program. And they call that PKCS11, and then they say, well, you just call it. And so we have a hardware manufacturer that has a closed source thing, and they give you a binary. What could possibly go wrong? So everything does go wrong, and we decided, okay, no way. We don't want this. We have a nice Rust application. We're not going to load this stuff in our nice Rust application. So we said, okay, we need to run that just in a different process. If a different process crashes, it's still annoying, but then we can tell the user, like, well, sorry, it's your problem. You have a weird HSM. You can figure out how to deal with that. Maybe generate some test traffic and see how it crashes or something like that. And then that was all good. And it is like, okay, now we need to talk to it. So, well, of course, we just design a new communication protocol to talk to that. Well maybe not, because there's an existing one called KMIP, and then nobody uses that. There's essentially no HSMs that do it. There's no application that uses it. Thought, okay, well, maybe instead of reinventing a new network protocol, we use a standard one. It's still relatively annoying because, I mean, those protocols are weird, but we get it to work. And then we got into the hard part of computer science. We had to give it a name. So we have gone through many names, and then we settled on the most descriptive one, and that is KMIP to PKCS11, which is fine. Except you can't type it unless you type it every day, and you can't pronounce it. So now recently we have to decide to dig deep into Lord of the Rings and come up with Morfin. So now people can tell us whether they like that or not. Any case, that's Cascade. Before Cascade, we started with Cascade. Also during Cascade, we learned that there's some parts of domain that are not very pleasant. Domain has an octets abstraction, and I give you a bit of code that you may have right now, and it's just too complex. People say, okay, we want to use domain, we understand this stuff. We created a server middleware layer, and it's also too complex. And it's also like, okay, if you now look at domain, there's some stuff that you could do more efficiently if you would radically change the interface of some things. So together that, we decided, okay, we need to just rewrite the base DNS types. Will be very unpleasant, but yeah, we need to do that to move forward. So then we get to the plan for sort of the coming year. We need to make a production release of Cascade. We released an alpha last October, and then we got some really enthusiastic testers who created lots of issues. So we got a lot of stuff to fix, and now we need to fix all of that and get to in the production release. Like I mentioned, we need to redo sort of the base of domain, and then out of Cascade work follows like, okay, we really would like to load zone files very fast, so we probably want a new zone file parser, certainly in Cascade, but trying to move that back to domain. And Cascade leads to a really interesting zone file storage because you constantly get all kinds of diffs. Like you get an exe file with a new unsigned zone and you need to sign that and you want to preferably keep that as a diff so that you can serve it again as an exe file. So we need to have a new internal way of storing zones that then hopefully also can migrate back to a domain. And we can work on DNSI, or that should have been DNST. And Mimir is a simple proxy that we have to experiment with, hooking up these server parts and the client parts and the query routing and all that kind of stuff. Then now is sort of the moment where I would ask you, like, we want to have a DNS library that is useful to the open source community. And, well, we know what we want for our own applications. But if there's stuff that you want from a DNS library, then please let us know. And then we can take it into account for how we evolve domain. So that's it for me. Okay, so the comment is I vote for the update and 6.0. Good.
Is there ability to request TLS connection with client authentication certificate already? And if not, would it be really possible to edit? Mutual TLS authentication.
So the question is there a possibility to set up a TLS connections with client authentication? And I think, but I never tried it, because we abstract over TCP and TLS, as an application, you can submit your own TLS connector, basically. And if that has a client certificate, then it should just work. Okay. But I never tried it.
One for Carsten. Yes, I've seen I can install DNSI with cargo install.
I don't know if we haven't released a lot of this, certainly not on a regular. Oh, the question is, I installed DNSI with cargo install, can also do that with TNST, and that is, so we're really behind publishing this. So if you want it, it's better to just git clone the repo and then do a cargo build than trying to do the install. We may have to release one version, but if we did, it is very old. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Philip.